Hello, this is the St John's Birkdale Talk for Sunday the 11th of February and my name is Sally Wright. Today we're going to continue our series looking at Jesus from cradle to cross, and today I'm looking at Jesus the leader. Jesus called and led the group of disciples, so what can we learn from how he did that and how he leads us today? As we start, let's just pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that we will learn more today about you to help us on our journey of faith. Amen. So we're going to listen to an account of the calling of the first five disciples from Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 16 to 20. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. When they had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. And then the second account is from Mark chapter 2, verses 13 to 14. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. So let's have a look at Jesus the leader and how the calling of the first five disciples can be relevant to us today. So I'm going to look at this under three headings: who Jesus called, why he called them, and how does this affect me? So firstly, who Jesus called. I guess many of us can think back to a time when we've applied for a job. In my experience, the jobs I've applied for have had very extensive job descriptions and a person specification which requires a superman or woman to fulfill. They list qualities that are desirable or essential and range from formal qualifications to skills and attributes. And interviews are more and more challenging and may require presentations and observations to make sure that you're up to the role being advertised and that you are indeed the best person for the job. But let's think of this job: a disciple, to spread the good news of the gospel that has the potential to change people's lives and secure their eternity. Quite a role, isn't it? So if you were hiring disciples to do this vital job, there would be quite a process involved, I imagine. You'd need a job description, a person specification, a list of qualifications, and then hold an extensive interview process, all to find the sharpest candidates to fulfill this life-changing role. So how did Jesus go about recruiting his top team? Well, he travels along the Sea of Galilee and calls two fishermen. No interviews, no job description, no qualifications. They were uneducated fishermen who talked like fishermen and, I guess, smelt like fishermen. They're not the kind of people you would pick as the most likely to succeed as disciples. Yet Jesus chose Simon and Andrew, then James and John, also fishermen. But the next person Jesus calls is a surprise. James and John, Simon and Andrew, all knew him, but certainly didn't like him. His name was Levi, also known as Matthew, and he was a tax collector. Tax collectors sound like modern day loan sharks. They took money above what people owed and lived a nice life at the expense of the people in their region. They were effectively thieves and they were hated. I wonder if the others, the fishermen, protested and were resistant to Levi joining them. There would certainly need to be some serious team building exercises over the next few weeks. But this wasn't a mistake. Jesus never makes a mistake with whom he calls. All these men had to grow into their faith. None of them started as great men of faith. They had to grow into their faith, just like we do. So that's who Jesus called. But secondly, why did he call them? Well, basically, Jesus saw their potential. Levi, also known as Matthew, was a disciple who went on to write the Gospel of Matthew, the first book of the New Testament, a man that you and I might have overlooked due to who he was, what he was doing, a despised tax collector, but his potential was clear for Jesus to see. His life was changed by his encounter and life with Jesus. And what about the fishermen he called? Well, did you know that at least 7 out of the 12 disciples were fishermen? So what did Jesus see in these men when asking them to follow him? Well, they were certainly hard-working men with great stamina and fight. They were dependable, strong, and they stuck at a task. And they were probably well-known in their communities and good at working as part of a team. And they were also good at taking orders. There are many examples of how these men responded to Jesus immediately. However, they weren't part of high society. They were just lowly working men. And notice, he calls them without any qualifications. The only qualification they needed was a willingness to let God work through them. And that's the only qualification we need too. A willingness to let God work through us. Why else did he call them? Well, I think he called these men for being ordinary men, not great men of status or learning, but ordinary men. Remember back to the shepherds who were the first to hear the message of Jesus' birth. They were lowly, perhaps insignificant men too. Jesus isn't interested in who you are in the world's eyes. He's interested in your heart. If you're feeling insignificant today, know that you are never insignificant to God. He loves you. He made you. He wants to have a living relationship with you. Jesus called these men to minister to people in their area, to spread the good news of Jesus to those that they had grown up with, that they had worked with, that they'd socialised with. Our faith is relationship driven, a relationship with Jesus, but also a relationship with others. And our witness to them is vital. We might be the only contact they have with Jesus. Can people see Jesus through you? Can people see Jesus through me? And these ordinary men made mistakes. Taking up the call and having Jesus as their leader, their physical leader, walking with them day in and day out, hearing his teaching firsthand and seeing the miracles firsthand, didn't stop them making mistakes and misunderstanding things. Jesus was showing us that making mistakes and getting things wrong isn't a barrier to having a relationship with him. As I talked about when we thought about Jesus the teacher a few weeks ago, we are all learning as Christians. He taught the disciples as they spent time with him, and he teaches us as we spend time with him. Only Jesus has the ultimate authority to call people to follow him. And this command reflects his divine right to lead people. Jesus has the authority to command the wind and the waves, to command demons to leave people. And he has the authority to call us. But he will only call us, not demand us to follow him. See here, he didn't have to persuade these early disciples. They made the choice to follow Jesus. And he will call us, but it's up to us to respond like the early disciples did. And finally, how does this affect me today? Ask yourself, who or what are you following in life? Are you chasing after money? Are you seeking popularity? or are you pursuing pleasure? We are all following something. We are led in one way or another. Jesus called these men and they responded immediately. They took orders from Jesus and followed him. They made him their leader. When Jesus spoke, his disciples listened. And we too need to develop the skill of taking orders from the Lord. It's okay to ask questions, but sometimes situations simply call for taking orders. To allow our leader, Jesus, to be in charge. In Psalm 46, verse 10, we are told, "Be still and know that I am God." Although it took time for Jesus' call and his message to get through, the disciples followed by faith. In the same way, we may question and falter, but we must never stop letting Jesus lead our lives. And these men had to work together to play their part in what Jesus was leading them to do. And we're still called to do that today, in this place, to be disciples, working together to spread the good news so that others can know the life-changing experience of knowing Jesus. Fishermen are particularly hardwired to keep going, to not give up, and fishing requires a lot of patience and dedication. Are we being led as Christians not to give up, to keep going? But it's tough at times, isn't it? Think about the courage the disciples needed when they were caught in fierce storms on the open sea. But when we find it difficult to follow Jesus, when troubles take us off course, when we need courage to face the fierce storms, look at this tremendous promise from God found in Isaiah. "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Jesus, the leader, never leaves us. Like Levi, our lives can be changed by an encounter with Jesus, and following him, our paths are forgiven, our futures secure. I doubt anyone who knew Levi, the tax collector, a despised, dishonest man, would have dreamt that he would have had his work published in the Bible. This is how Jesus alters the lives of those he leads. By making Jesus the Lord of our lives, he will lead us into the best life, into things we could never imagine. Have you been putting off the call of Jesus? Do you know he is calling you, but you haven't responded yet? These fishermen responded immediately. Perhaps they sense that something extraordinary was happening, and if they turned it down, they would regret it for the rest of their lives, an opportunity that they couldn't let pass. Yes, it was a risk. They didn't know what would lie ahead, but they knew the leader, Jesus, and they put their faith in him. And this same Jesus is still calling each of us today. He wants to lead us through life. He's calling you to be a disciple. And this leader, Jesus, is the ultimate leader and such a good leader that 2,000 years later, people are still wanting to follow him. Jesus had called you to be a disciple, not because you're gifted, powerful, or educated. You may be all, some, or none of these things. But he's called you because he loves you for who you are. And it is in faith that you turn and depend completely on him. Ask yourself today, have I been putting off the call of Jesus? And have I not responded yet? Or am I allowing him to lead my life? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you that you are an amazing leader, that you came to show us how to get our lives right with God. Help me today to listen to your calling and to respond immediately without fear, for you are with me. Amen.